but according to John, Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments. Even I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. And this I tell you, that my joy will be yours and your joy will be complete." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel passage we've been reading in the last few days before Christ's ascension to heaven have to do with perseverance in the following of Christ. Christ identifies what it means to persevere in following Christ. It means, in one declarative sentence, keeping his commandments. In other words, to love Christ means to do what Christ tells us we must do. And I repeat the verb must do. What is the reward for doing the will of Christ? Too often, I'm afraid, we speak of following Christ without qualifying that following of Christ means keeping the commandments of Christ. The life of Christ is no mere option. It is not even a mere opportunity. It is an obligation. Christ is the living God. What he wants us to do, he demands that we do. What's the reward? Joy. And if there's one thing that every human being wants, it is to be happy. And there's only one real heresy in the world, and that is that joy consists in doing my will. No. Joy consists in doing the will of God. In other words, there are levels and levels of having one's desires satisfied. The deepest desire of our being, animated by the living God, is to do his will. We all want to do our will. Always, question, always. And there's one definition of the world in which we live. It is, you will be as happy as you do your will. That's false. We shall be only as happy as we do the will of God. Two responsibilities. Want to know what God wants, and then, well, do it. Lord Jesus, you've told us time and again, we shall be only as happy as we do your will. But we constantly need your light. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then trust, having prayed, that you will tell us what is your will. But light is not enough. We need strength. Because, dear Jesus, we are constantly bent on doing our wills. Give us the strength, dear Lord, to do your will. And it is a costly venture to do your will instead of ours. But in your own words, you promise us joy. The only really happy people on earth, no one else is truly happy, are those who are sincerely striving to do your will. Lord Jesus, give us, we beg you, the grace to do your will, and no matter what price to ourselves, so that doing your will on earth, your will, and being happy, we shall persevere in doing your will for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have chosen you from the world, says the Lord. Go out and bear fruit that will last. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. All this I tell you, that my joy may be yours and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I no longer speak of you as slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is about. Instead, I call you friends, so I made known to you all that I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit. Your fruit must endure, so that all you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The command I give you is this, that you love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, on the feast of St. Matthias the Apostle, we may wonder why the Church chose just the Gospel that we've read. The closing words, you've heard them so many times. "My command to you is this, that you love one another." What has this got to do with, well, St. Matthias the Apostle? Everything. The primary, most important way in which we love another is to share with that person our faith. And that's what the apostle did, including today's apostle, Matthias. What is sharing the faith? Sharing the faith is to pass on to another person what another person under God has shared with us. None of us would be here this morning. There wouldn't be a mass. There wouldn't be a church. Unless someone who held the faith had the generosity of sharing that faith with us. As St. Paul tells us, faith comes from hearing. So it does. But somebody must talk. Nobody can hear silence. Why? Why must we share the faith? Because from the time of Christ on, Christ, remember, don't forget, Christ did not have the faith. Do you hear me? Christ did not have the faith. In spite of some over-educated, quotes, scholars, unquote, may tell you. Christ was a living God, but he chose his apostles, taught them who he was. They had the faith, believing that Jesus was indeed the living God. They passed on the faith to their contemporaries. Why? Because unless they had done so, there wouldn't be a church, there wouldn't be Christianity. Why then must we share the faith? Because this is the bedrock of Christianity, the foundation of the church. How are we to share the faith? Talk about being important. Living it. You don't share the faith by mouthing the faith. In fact, to talk about the faith, to preach and mesmerize audiences by the thousands. Pooh. Either we live the faith, or the words we use allegedly in showing the faith, it'll be just the opposite of what we intend. It will turn people off. If this faith you're talking about is so important, why has this value been lost on you? Live with the faith. But then we must, in our own way, everyone, communicate. Some kind of external profession of what we believe. And most important, that's why I'm in red. You must suffer for the faith. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today's Saint Matthias. Give us the grace, like him, to believe in you, to love you, and to share with others what others, under your providence, have shared with us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During the weeks between Easter and Ascension, the Church concentrates on the Gospel of St. John, and with good reason, because while Christ was on earth for only 30 some years, visibly, he's on earth invisibly. But the Holy Spirit, having been sent by Christ, is working on earth and will continue working until the end of time. We speak in theology of two missions from the Holy Trinity. The first, the visible mission, where the Father sent the Son, was among us as man, lived, suffered, died, and rose from the dead. Then we speak of a second mission from the Holy Trinity. This time, from the Father and the Son, sending, that's what mission means, sending of the third person, the Holy Spirit. When Christ says that the Spirit, the Paraclete, will bear witness to me, he meant that to be taken literally. What did our Lord mean? It is not for nothing that for 2,000 years the third person of the Trinity has been called the Holy Spirit. What is the witness that the Holy Spirit gives to Christ among the followers of Christ? It is the witness of holiness. The church has thrived. She has flourished. She has converted whole nations. As long as, and where, and insofar as a follower of Christ were holy. That is a witness. But we are conversely, those who still call themselves Christians, but are not holy, what happens? Instead of the Holy Spirit witnessing to Christ in the holiness of Christ's followers, the very opposite becomes true. The evil spirit gives counter witness to Jesus Christ. You a Christian? Don't tell me. If that's what a Christian is, count me out. That is the only crisis, and is the most serious crisis in the history of the church, says one modern pope after another in our century. And those who claim to be followers of Christ are not responding to the graces given by the Holy Spirit and are not witnessing to Jesus Christ by the holiness of their lives. There is nothing that is more devastating for the church than the unholiness of her members. And that includes, with emphasis, and some of her leaders. Unholiness destroys the church. Please God, we will be witnesses to Jesus Christ by the holiness of our lives, because otherwise not only will those who call themselves Christians not be saved, but millions, so Francis Xavier kept saying, millions are not going to heaven but going to hell. And he spoke to Christians, because you are not witnessing to Jesus Christ by the sanctity of your lives. Lord Jesus, make us witnesses to you by the holiness of our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "Since I go back to him who sent me, not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have had all this to say to you, you are overcome with grief. And I tell you the sober truth, it is much better for you that I go. If I fail to go, the Paraclete will never come to you. Whereas if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin, about justice, about condemnation. about sin in that they refuse to believe in me about justice from the fact that I go to the Father and you can see me no more about condemnation. For the prince of this world has been condemned. The Gospel of the Lord. In the Gospel of St. John, the word world keeps recurring, as we've just read this morning. Christ is constantly comparing his own teaching with that of the world. Over the years in teaching the Gospel of John, I have counted 14 different meanings of the word world in the fourth gospel. What is the world, and who are the worldly people, as we so casually and often say? Worldly people whom Christ is constantly castigating are those who believe there is only time and no eternity. Worldly people believe we are to only enjoy pleasure and not experience pain. Worldly people believe they should serve themselves and not practice charity towards others. Who then is the world? It is those people for whom this world of space and time either is the only world that exists or the only one that matters. Again, worldly people are those who want to squeeze every drop of pleasure in this life and avoid pain. And they are those who are preoccupied with themselves, their own interests, and unconcerned about others. What shall we say about the world in which we are living? It is precisely those kinds of people, their number is legion, and their philosophy has become the law of one Western nation after another, including our own. Kevorkian again. Headlines in yesterday's papers. Of course, if you believe there is no other world than this one, no other life than this one, if the purpose of our existence in this life is to enjoy ourselves and avoid pain, then one homicidal law after another that is becoming the law of our nation makes sense. Dear Lord, teach us, we beg you, to understand what you are saying when you told us, I pray not for the world, I pray for those whom I have taken out of the world. Because, dear Savior, the only ones who have a right to enjoy your company through all eternity are not those who belong to the world, but belong to you. Dear Jesus, give us the light to see that our life here on earth is only for a time, and that we are made not, dear Jesus, for this world, but for the life that will never end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When he comes, however, being the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak only what he hears, and will announce to you the things to come. In doing this, he will give glory to me, because he will have received from me what he will announce to you. All that the Father has belongs to me. That is why I said that what he will announce to you, he will have from me. The Gospel of the Lord. As we've said before, during the days between Easter and Pentecost, the Church concentrates on the Gospel of St. John. And the reason is because John's Gospel is the most extensive in describing the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. Among the most mysterious statements that Christ spoke was the one we just read a moment ago. The Holy Spirit, whom I will send, will teach you all the truth. You might ask yourselves, well, didn't Christ teach us all the truth? Yes. Objectively, everything which Christ taught is not only the truth, but all the truth that we need to know. However, there is such a thing as growing in our knowledge, depth, and penetration of the truth which Christ revealed. And this is especially true in seeing that everything in our lives, and the word is everything, is part of the providence of God. If there is one truth that takes a lifetime, and I can speak from experience, a long lifetime to learn, it is that everything in our lives is mysteriously part of God's providence and the means that he provides for leading us to our eternal destiny. Everything, everything. What is painful? Yes. What is pleasant? Oh, that's too obviously from God. It's the painful things in our lives that take a lot of faith to see they too are from God. Does this mean what God gives us? Oh, yes. Does it also mean what God takes away? yes. Does this truth mean that everything in our lives, and not just outside of us, but within us, is part of the providence of God? Yes. And there is one truth that we have to keep growing in, is to see that God, with His loving providence, is guiding us in His own way, and not infrequently crossing our wills, as I keep telling people,